Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the With Insights Radio Network with your host Iggy Garcia and Mark Matheny. Sit back and relax, grab a sandwich, enjoy your lunch, and listen to some of the coolest things on the internet. Food for your soul, food for your heart. Now on to the show. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, streaming live here on the World Wide Web, and joining me is Katie Singing Eagle on her landline.
Hey.
Morning, Katie. How are you?
Pretty good. Doing well. I'm fighting a cold, so I feel like my head's in a tunnel because I took some DayQuil.
DayQuil? That's funny. You used to be NyQuil, now it's DayQuil. And
yeah.
I think Mark's with us, too, as well. Mark Matheny is on the line.
I am here. And I am what? Ill as well.
Yeah, you guys are just all sick, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope you guys feel better.
Yeah, just, a couple days of cold. You know how being out and about with people during the holidays, you never know where you're going to pick up a bug.
That's for sure. I agree with you on that one. Hopefully my bean soup I made yesterday kept you charged up a little bit.
That soup was awesome.
Good.
That was some good soup.
One chef to another, I'll take those compliments.
Yeah, the little pieces of... And I make stuff with hardly any fat in it anymore, so I missed the little pieces of fat that was in it.
Yeah.
Because I love that, especially with my grandma's. It reminded me of my grandmother's soup.
Good. I'm here to I'm here to serve. So, you know, yesterday we had a show. We talked about, you know, kind of what our predictions were and things. And it was a lot of fun to hang out there with all the hosts of the different shows on one evening and one line and sharing our thoughts and giving readings. I thought it was pretty cool. I had a really good time with that.
Yeah, that was really nice. Letting people know what we saw for the new year and what things to work on for the new year in order to make life a bit better. Even though some things, not everything was all bright, sunshiny stuff. It was productive.
Yeah. There was a few things that were pretty positive that we talked about, and there was a few things that were, of course, there like any predictions. We're going to give predictions of the future. I mean, we're going to hit or miss, right? We're going to have bad weather. We're going to have bad storms. There's bound to be an earthquake sooner or later. So it wasn't like we weren't saying anything that people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the fun thing about predictions when people want to hear about things like that is, you know, there's when you attach a timetable to it, when you attach a date to it, when you attach some significance to a region that where people can associate or know. So it makes it into a game almost. It almost makes it into a game. And I really thought about that after I hung up. I'm thinking, well, I threw some numbers out there, and I'm wondering, does that help manifest something like that, create something like that? And, you know, I would have to say in part yes and no. What do you think, Mark?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
I think putting things out there does not help manifest it, because I struggled over that for a long time, because I would see earthquakes and things coming up, and I would not say stuff, and it would still happen. So all that happened is I didn't give a warning as to what I saw. Mm-hmm. So even though I tried to, you know, sometimes you, because there's bigger reasons for things like that to happen, especially now. Even though there's tragic things that happen, it also serves as a wake-up call for the people that are still here. And remember, too, people that, you know, have things like that happen, or unfortunately some people lose their lives or whatever. It's just their physical body. They're just moving on to another realm.
Sure.
Yep.
So I've tried to keep my mouth shut about a lot of stuff, but you know what?
Mm-hmm.
They happen anyways, even when I keep it to myself. So I don't think talking about stuff or saying, hey, I see this stuff coming up on this day, I don't think that helps manifest it at all.
No,
so you think it was already in the works to begin with?
Right. That energy is, and that's what as far as what I do, that's what I'm doing, is I'm reading energy patterns. I can give you the emotional, and you can pick any day in history, and I can look in the little ephemeris and tell you what the, you know, emotional and energetic weather was or is going to be on that day. Now, it doesn't
right.
always play out exactly like you would think, but... I mean, I think we do. In fact, sometimes I think by pointing stuff out, I think you get people sending good energy to it or something. And I think just like as far as like on the conspiracy side of things, I think when people leak something out, hey, they're going to crash the dollar, or they're going to try some kind of false flag thing or whatever, I think drawing attention to it, I think, kind of ruins their plans on stuff they want to do because they want that surprise. So I think we've actually stopped things by pointing it out. But yeah, I used to worry a lot about that, like you were saying, but it just got
mm-hmm.
to where, but I kept my mouth shut on so many things and they happened anyway, so it was like, okay,
mm-hmm.
me shutting up and not saying anything is not keeping something from manifesting.
Right. I've learned to do that too.
Yeah. The reason I said that is, you know, sometimes, you know, because there's been like scenarios that they've played out in like war-torn regions where they actually had 100 people praying to stop a conflict.
Right.
Temporarily, as soon as those people walked away, the shit started again, you know. It just kicked back up.
Right.
And then they did it several times, so it was like, they're not sure. You know, we don't have to manifest necessarily by speaking. We can also manifest, you know, without vocalizing things as well, through emotions,
mm-hmm.
feeling, you know, what we have inside of us. So that's why I was wondering, because, you know, I want to say that I help out some way in this world to make it a better place, you know. And I've helped. I feel like that sometimes the work we do, we've brought rain to places where they needed rain, and we brought rain where it didn't need to have rain. It's just weird. Maybe we just live in Columbus, and it's just kind of a strange place. The weather changes every 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Columbus is a different place because this city sits down into like a valley, a bowl, because you got to go uphill to get out. No matter what direction you go, you're going, you have to go uphill and then back downhill to get out of it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and I noticed that when I was driving the other day. I was like, you start to pay attention when you're in a different mind frame, you know, when you're in a different set of eyes. You start looking at, you can start to see the contours, and you can start seeing the dips in the little valleys and the highs here in Columbus when you start looking for them. And I just kind of picture, you know, landscape on them, you know, like trees and grass and stuff, and you can really see it. It's really cool.
Mhm. It's a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm.
When you stop and look, Columbus, Ohio, Central. The whole of Central Ohio is a very beautiful place, and it gets more. It has its best colors and best stuff right there in the autumn. I love Columbus in the autumn, because it's a green city, and there's
mm-hmm.
lots of trees, and the colors and everything just come right out. And they're trying to work to make it even greener. At least the last mayor was trying to do so.
Mm-hmm.
He had his good and bad parts.
Well, everybody does.
Know that, yeah. But I love my city. I lived in New York for 7 years, and I never, all the time, I couldn't get back, wait to get back to see Columbus, even to visit. So.
Awesome. I love Columbus, too. Even though I come from a warm climate from Peru, but Columbus is neat because it has, you know, such diverse, you know, weather and such diverse, you know, people as well. You know, it's
people,
not just,
yeah.
You know, that's one of the biggest things. Being in a big college town like this, you get that, I think. You start to get, you know, you get 50,000 people coming in every year or every fall. You're bound to get a hodgepodge of different types of cultures and beliefs, and, you know, just you learn from that. You're involved in that. Immersed
mm-hmm.
in that.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very diverse and has a lot of different things going. There's actually a lot of culture in Columbus for. It's a good New Age metaphysical community, and there's lots of good conventions and stuff here and things like that. So there really is a lot of stuff to do.
And we're also trying to bring a little of the indigenous aspect here also,
mm-hmm.
our group, because we're not, and I would like to see us connect more with some of the more indigenous people here in the city, if possible, because I know there's quite a few.
Yeah, there's quite a few. I mean, but it's just like anything, just like you said, we have to connect. And hunt them down, what am I saying? Pin them down is what I meant to say. You know, and just and coordinate with them and talk with them and share. And that's the beauty about being on this planet is, you know, we have so much to share and so much to give to one another that it's not always have to be ugly.
Mm-hmm. True. So true.
But
so
in the scheme of things, I think there's more beauty, though. There's more beauty than there is ugliness when you start to break it down. I really believe that in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
There is just all the negativity is what gets all the
gets
news headlines
mm-hmm.
in there.
So what's
so
going on in, up in the universe there, Mark? What's going on in outer space?
Oh, we got through the roughest patch there. The last couple of weeks. So now the major thing happening now is the Pluto is squaring the nodes. So Pluto correlates with the soul, and it's about transformation and finding your power, and the nodes are, the north node is, you know, future, what you're supposed to be working towards. South node is past karma. So that's overwhelmingly the big picture happening right now. So it's all about people finding out where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to be doing and releasing their old, you know, old karmic baggage and stuff. And that's kind of what the shifting energies are right now, as
mm-hmm.
everyone trying to get into their proper place where they belong and get aligned with the people they're supposed to be aligned with. And you know, the other side of that, too, is if you have things that are out of balance or out of whack, then those things are going to be very noticeable right now. And
very, very, very good.
There's some more, we're working towards some more of that energy in the middle of January, where people are going to feel the additional energy towards overthrowing anything that is oppressing them or holding them back. So bullies beware.
Bullies beware.
Yeah, bullies beware.
So it takes me into a segment that I wanted to go, and since we're going into the New Year's, and you know, of course there's things called New Year's resolutions, I found an article here on the Elite Daily that talks about New Year's resolutions remix, 15 things to stop doing in 2015. If you want to read the article, you can hunt it down, but I wanted to take their highlighted part and then share and give our version of what they're actually saying. I think that way it comes from our heart and what we're saying. So the number one thing they say, the first one they have down, stop showing and telling everything to everyone. So how do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, because some people, even on the news, they had spoken of oversharing.
Mm-hmm.
And some people go on Facebook and Twitter and they share everything from what they're eating in the morning to where they're mm-hmm. going to who they're with. Almost like they live on Twitter or Facebook. They have to check in every place they're at, show every picture of what they're doing everywhere. And that can be a little bit too much and too many selfies. They're like, okay, this person is always showing selfies, you know. Now, I take pictures or selfies and I put them as my profile picture because
mm-hmm.
I like different pictures of myself. There was a time when I didn't like having pictures of myself, a whole, like through the 80s and 90s, there's not a lot of pictures of me because I didn't feel good about myself, but from 2000 on, I didn't mind pictures of me. I'm like, I'm going to embrace me. I'm going to love me no mm-hmm. matter where I'm at. And I'm going to be in pictures. So, but there's, you know, certain people that, especially some of the kids out there, they do everything. It's too much. And it may ruin some of their chances when they get older for things because they're too much of an online liver. Online liver.
What do you think, Mark?
So,
yeah, I agree. I mean, I try to, like, I post silly stuff and whatnot on Facebook, and you know, if we go somewhere cool or something, I'll post pictures. But I try to, yeah, I find I get burnt out. I've had to cut back my Facebook time a little bit, just because it's almost like I've gotten really empathic about just like picking up energies and stuff, so like I have mm-hmm. to kind of limit myself a little bit, so I'd rather keep a little bit of mystery to things than, I mean, that's kind of how I roll, I guess.
Yeah. That's perfect. Yeah, mystery's important.
I totally agree.
So is imagination.
I agree that maybe there is too much sharing and stuff and too much, and even I've tried to, even just in the spiritual realm and stuff, I've kind of gotten to the point where it's like I'll put information out there and I put it, but I'm not going to, you know, with like political and stuff,
mm-hmm.
political things, I used to like try and beat people over the heads years ago and, you know, say, don't you see this? How can you not see this and everything? Then I just got to the point where it's like, you know what? Everyone's on their own journey. Everyone has to honor their own, where they're at, and they made, you know, some people are here in this lifetime to figure out a whole bunch of stuff and to figure out their mysteries of life. Some people have already done that maybe or aren't supposed to do that in this incarnation, and they're just here to focus on a couple. You know, they may just be focusing really hard on just relationships or just a couple mundane things or, you know, little things that their soul wants them to tweak at this time. So they may not have the inner questioning that I do of everything. So I learned that I needed to kind of respect other people's boundaries and that, you know, people know what I do. Well, people sort of know what I do.
Mm.
But if they want information, they know the stuff I talk about and stuff. So if they want information, they are free to approach me or to ask. But I try not to beat people over the head with stuff.
You segue right into number two. Stop comparing yourself to others.
Ah, very good.
I think that's super important, too, stop comparing yourself with others, because sometimes we think that other people have it better. Sometimes we just, especially on Facebook, when you look at some of the stories and some of the things on social media, sometimes other people's lives look so great, you know, because it's only a highlighted version of their life at that moment. You know, you're only seeing pieces and parts. So you're not getting the whole, you know, banana or whatever you want to call it, you know, but it's still good to some degree where you're kind of like get to experience somebody in a certain way. And we talked about that yesterday. You know, people only show you what they really want to show you sometimes. because mm-hmm. we all have a shadow side, we all have a dark side. So stop comparing ourselves to others, you know, our, you know, yourselves to others. You know, I think that's super important to know that you're unique, even within the aspects of social media, that you're a unique person. And it's easy to be confused, and it's easy to be misconstrued and mistaken and misinterpreted, especially in
mm-hmm. Yeah. So enjoy other people on there. Enjoy their posts. Enjoy their journey. And let them know you are unique. And see other people as unique, and hopefully they'll see you as unique and not take what you say out of the context of which, if a person knows you, they won't take you out of context. Mm-hmm. Because I know sometimes I write encouraging posts, and sometimes I'll give people food for thought or an FYI, and that's basically what I write day to day. I try to encourage people and or get them to think, leave them something to think about, things that are going on. I'm not political, and I'm not so much, and I don't like to be seen as religious, but a lot of my stuff are faith-based, and to get people to embrace their spirituality or their faith. And I'm one of those people, I don't care how you see the divine, just as long as you see the divine in your life mm-hmm. and acknowledge the divine in your life. That's what I'm, just a point, a person out in the wilderness pointing the way. Like John the Baptist, hopefully I won't get my head cut off. But,
well, you just went right into three, Katie. You went right into three. You went right into three. Stop worrying about what others think of you. You know, that's number three on this list. People will judge you regardless of what you do, so, or what you say.
So, because I have had people take some of my posts out of what I was trying to say and try to cut my head off with it. But sometimes I find I don't argue with them. I'll just delete their post or their comment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, if it bothers me, I delete the comment. But if it doesn't bother me, then I'll let it go.
And Mark,
so,
what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think two and three kind of tie in together a lot, because it's all mm-hmm. both of them are kind of about perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, yeah, I mean, it's part of, you know, honoring other people's journey. And then it's also, I think there's kind of an idea out there with, like, with a lot of things, that time and other things work in a linear fashion, and it's really not. It's kind of just like in a lot of areas of life, you know, some people are working on, you know, let's say there's 12 areas of life, you know, some people are working on areas 1, 3, and 8, and other people are working on area 5 and 7, and, you know, so it's like everyone's not necessarily, like we were talking about seeing people's Facebook posts and stuff, you just see a little snippet and everything, but it's mm-hmm. kind of like opening up, you know, a 400-page book and opening it to page 237.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't really know what, you don't know what happened on page 1 through 236 and what happens on 238 through 400. You're just seeing that one snippet of that one moment in time, and you don't really know what else is going on there. And one of my David Icke has a good quote as far as people's opinions, and he says, not only do I not care what other people think of me, but it's none of my business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I've tried to kind of adopt that, because it's like, you know what, I put stuff out there, and I'm sure I come off as a, people turn into one of these shows, or to my show or something, or show up to one of my classes or something, they probably think, wow, what a, just a complete whack job. I'm sure there's people that have thought that, but, you know, that's what I am. I live in that, I live off the beaten path, and I think I have a lot of knowledge about weird stuff that other people don't have, and I'm sure I come across as a total fruit loop to some people, but, you know, if I cared or that bothered me, I wouldn't be able to talk and laugh about it. So,
well, it's
I
like,
really
it's
don't.
Like
that's, I know who and what I am and the information I'm here to share, so.
It's like when people cook, you know, like when your mom cooks. If your mom's a good cook, no matter where you go, two things happen. Your mom compares the food that she's eating in someone's house. Oh, this is really bad, or this is, you know. Or number two, you go somewhere, you're like, oh, my mom used to cook, so my mom, you know. It's just how we do it. It's just how people are. And so when you're, even in the metaphysical world, I'm sure there's people out there going, I know more than this guy, you know, and I know what he's doing.
Right.
So that takes us into number four. Stop waiting, you know. If you know so much, why don't you get up here on stage and share your thoughts and, you know, share with the world, you know. Let people do what they need to do. So stop waiting is number four, guys. So what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Stop waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Carpe diem. Seize the day. Strike while the iron's hot.
Mm-hmm. I like
it. Those, you know, those sayings, they've been said for hundreds of years. Get out and do something that you want to do. Don't, why wait? If you can do it now, do it. Make it
right.
happen.
I think that one's pretty self-explanatory, don't you think?
Yeah, right.
I
think too. If it's going
I
to
totally,
be, it's up to me.
Yeah.
Right, I totally agree with that, though, because I mean, I have a terrible habit of the, like, sabotaging myself as far as, like, okay, I'm going to do this and that and whatnot, and it's like I don't get to, it's like when I stop trying to think and plan and just be in the moment and do, I get a lot more done.
And you take us right into number five, Mark. Stop doubting.
Have faith.
Mark takes us right into number five without even knowing.
Yeah, really, because it is a lot of times, we're our own, a lot of us are our own.
Worst enemy?
Yeah, our own worst enemy and our own worst critic. And so it's
mm-hmm.
like we, I find that I, you know, I criticize myself a lot more than anybody else really does. So it's, sometimes I need to just like, you know, but just here's an example. Here's what happens to me repeatedly. It's like, okay, I want to put a blog up on point A, whatever. You know, so I start doing it, and I'm like, oh, well, I left out a little bit of information and everything. And then it's like, and then I'm into like, okay, I'm on like page four of this blog. It's like, well, I'm going to put every little stinking detail. You know, this is going to be three chapters in a book. And so then sometimes I don't even get the blog done. It's like, all right, you know what, I need to. And as much as I don't like Twitter, I think there's, I'm on there, and I just recently went over 100 followers, which I'm almost positive means absolutely nothing whatsoever. Because the whole thing still doesn't make sense to me. But I think there's a purpose in it for me, and that's to learn to put out a one-sentence thought when I have it, or a one-paragraph thought, and not turn everything into, you know, Encyclopedia Britannica, which is my problem.
You have million-dollar ideas, and they're a dime a dozen,
yeah.
they say. And you take one in a million who follow through on their ideas. So I guess what you're saying is, you know, we have to really pinpoint ourselves to one direction and move towards that direction and follow through, follow up, and continue doing that. Very good.
Follow up.
Number six, guys, stop being a stranger. I thought this was an interesting one.
You know, you can be a stranger to yourself. That's why I like in one of the intros, self-discovery. Discover who you are. Find out who you are. Stop being a stranger to yourself. Find out your own strengths, weaknesses, what you like, what your purpose is, what your passion is. Stop putting limits on yourself. Find out and stop being a stranger to yourself. And then when you stop being a stranger to yourself, you can stop being a stranger to others also. Try to be, in some ways, a little more transparent to yourself and
mm-hmm.
to others.
Popularity fades and kindness stays. Way I look at it.
Yep, that's true. That is true.
Mm-hmm. And I think that moves us into seven. You know, stop feeling sorry for yourself. What do you think, Mark?
I'll totally agree. entirely
Amen.
Agree. I mean, it's, yeah, it's easy to get into the... But, you know, I try to look...
I wasn't putting you on the spot.
I'm usually pretty good about not getting stuck in the past. I mean, I like to just keep moving. And that's kind of... So I've got someone designing a new logo for me and new business cards and stuff. And so one of my totem, I had this conversation with this person. One of my totem animals is the shark. So I've always just kind of been obsessed with sharks and stuff. And some people who have attended my classes have unfortunately found out I like to go over charts of shark attack victims and stuff. But there's actually, the shark is actually kind of an interesting animal totem because one of the, you know, well, they're kind of aloof and mysterious in some ways, but also one of the things about sharks is, you know, there's a few of them that can, like, stop and sleep that have the ability to, while they're resting, use their gills to flap water in and out to oxygenate themselves. But most of them, if they stop swimming, they die. And so I just kind of resonate. It's like, I need to, like, just emotionally and spiritually and stuff, it's important for me to just, you know, to keep moving and going forward and stuff and not, you know, I make mistakes all the time. If you stop and, you know, dwell on those and worry too much about them, then all that does is kind of sabotage you on the next effort. It's like, you know,
and
hey, sometimes... I've had radio shows blow up in my face, and I've had lectures at conferences blow up in my face and stuff. But it's like, you know what? You learn one hell of a lot more a lot of times when something goes wrong than if it goes 100% right.
And you know Dory from the one movie, Just Keep Swimming, 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 Just Keep Swimming. Dory from, what's the
Nemo.
Movie called? Yeah,
Finding Nemo.
From Finding Nemo. I love that character because she has a
Katie,
short memory too.
And Katie takes us right into number 8. Stop standing in your own way. You guys are good at this.
Yeah, we
the
do.
Thoughts
get
in your
our
head
own way.
About yourself and your situation really do affect your life. That's a quote from the story here, and I thought that was important to read. Make your worst enemy doesn't reside in between your own ears. So make sure. Sorry. And I think that's true.
Well,
I think, don't you think?
Absolutely.
We're our worst enemy.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it goes back to the other. Yeah, it kind of goes back on what we talked about a minute ago about, you know, letting those voices and the, you know, self-criticism and stuff be so loud that, you know, we. You know, you learn a lot more by having a little bit rougher road sometimes than if everything goes 100% smoothly.
Yeah, you have to make peace with yourself. Make peace with yourself. Call a truce. Put up the white flag and say, hey, no matter what, I'm moving forward. I'm not going to get in my own way. Get my big butt. Stop using butt. You know, the word butt.
That right.
Because get your big butt out of your own way, you know?
Hey, I resemble that.
Always.
Similar remark.
Huh?
I resemble that remark.
You can do things. Put can in place of butt. You know? Well, some people refer to a butt as a can, too, but you can do things. Don't give yourself excuses.
I know I can.
Yeah. Stop. And I'm speaking to myself because I do it too. I need to get my own big butt out of my own way and tell myself I can do this, I can do that, I will do this, I will do that, you know? Stop being your own enemy.
Now, here's one.
Right. Life is hard enough as it is.
Go ahead, Mark.
Mark.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh
yeah, life is as hard as it is.
I mean, life is hard enough as it is without, you know, self-sabotaging. I mean, there's already enough obstacles to figure out and overcome without, you know, sabotaging ourselves or holding ourselves back. It's like,
you know, it's like I've allow yourself to make mistakes and to grow and for your values and perceptions to change. And, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, you know, as you move along and get more information on everything, then, you know, your emotions and values and things should change probably, you know, and your perspective should change.
Yes.
So you got it. But we kind of get, sometimes I think we kind of get stuck on, I am this, and this is what I've always been, and this is how I did, you know. It's like sometimes it's like, you know, God, I'm boring myself. It's like, you know, maybe I need to mm-hmm. do things differently or shake things up or approach some things differently. Maybe that's why I have the same problems in certain areas, is always trying to do things. And, you know, people really are not that consistent.
Yeah.
So it's
mm-hmm.
like, why is, I mean, it's good to be consistent in some areas, but it's like, so like maybe sometimes we pick the wrong areas. It's like we got to let ourselves evolve.
Mm-hmm.
You said something earlier about being boring. I remember someone telling me one time, if you're bored, then you're boring. So don't be boring.
Right. Yep.
Takes
Keep
us to number
lively.
Nine. Number nine. This, I found number nine really interesting because I kind of fall really hard in this category. Stop feeling guilty.
Yeah.
You know, stop feeling guilty about things that you've outgrown, things that you know that have changed in your life, and sometimes the people that you leave behind, and sometimes you know, we miss things about people. That's why we feel guilty. We feel like that we should stay in the rut with them sometimes. So for me, that was super important, you know, stop feeling guilty. It almost kind of falls into the loyalty aspect, too, of being so loyal to something that's never going to go or never going to be. And I think, what do you guys think?
Yeah, and then with that, too, don't let others put a guilt trip on you also. So you don't have to, it's like, move on. If you can't do something about something, if something in your life, don't worry about it. Don't feel guilty about it. If you can't help somebody, don't feel guilty about it. Do what you can. You know, try to find a better solution than guilt or that, because guilt brings worry and vice versa. So that's one of those hard things to explain. But if there's nothing you can do about a situation, if there's no way you can help, then don't feel guilty about it. Don't feel guilty about yourself, because it's just a burden. Guilt is a burden, one of those rocks in your backpack that you want to let go of.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, like last night I talked about burdens and stuff. Let those burdens go. Empty your backpack, those things that are weighing down you on your shoulders and your back. Let them go.
Mark?
Yeah,
I like
that.
No,
I agree. I agree too. It is. It's like, you know, we're instilled with a certain amount of guilt when we come to this place, and it's like, yeah, I mean, it does a lot of damage because it's like, you know, it seems like a lot of times we give allegiance or do things to institutions or people that we shouldn't, and then the ones that we should be more, it's like we maybe project into the wrong areas, we'll say. So it's like we don't always give the loyalty to people or institutions that we should, and then we just, like, out of guilt, we like follow along with things we shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, the more you realize that we're all one, yet we're all separate on our own paths as well. And so
yep.
that kind of goes along, too, with honoring each person's quest at this time. And it may not be exactly what ours is. So just...
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the time, I'd say probably 90% of the time, we feel guilty. There's probably no reason. We probably shouldn't be feeling guilty for it. And sometimes,
yeah.
too, we have it, you know, a lot of us have the nature of trying to always help people and do things for people and stuff.
And sometimes, you know, sometimes maybe that's out of guilt, but sometimes maybe we're keeping them from learning a lesson that they need to be learning.
Absolutely. I agree.
Just like,
all right.
Okay, can I interject something,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, 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 go ahead, absolutely.
Just like this coming weekend, I'm going on a retreat. I was invited to two different retreats, one in Indiana, one in West Virginia. I didn't have the funds to go to either retreat, but I was thinking about, you know, I wanted to go anyway and use some funds, you know, do whatever, maybe some, you know, cut something somewhere else so I can go. And the one for Indiana, the people said, oh, they were giving this for me because I wanted to go to this one place in Indiana. Well, mm-hmm. But nobody was, you know, they all know my situation and nobody was willing to chip in or make anything easier. And there was hotel costs and all and food costs and all that. So I just left it up in the air. I didn't really want to go because I had such a short notice to go to on this retreat. But the retreat came up to West Virginia, and it was about the same cost, but my heart was like, oh, if I had to choose, I want to go to West Virginia. But then, and I started feeling guilty about the one in Indiana, but then I said, no, my path is different. I feel like I'm supposed to go to West Virginia, so I made up my mind, I'm going to go to West Virginia. Even though I had short notice on the West Virginia trip, I had spoken to my godmother, who is in West Virginia, and she said she'd be so glad to see me, and she had something she had to tell me for the new year. So I was going to go to West Virginia. I had made up my mind, and then I got a call yesterday morning saying that my way to West Virginia was paid for. Now, usually when I go to West Virginia, I stay in what is a dormitory. But this time, I'm staying in their lodge, which is like hotel rooms. And I'm like, oh, I get to stay in one of the lodge rooms like a hotel, and it's already paid for. I don't have to worry about the cost. I don't have to worry about the food. They said I don't even have to chip in on the gas money. So everything is paid for the West Virginia trip, whereas the Indiana trip is not. And I was willing to pay for the West Virginia trip. So I say when you go with your heart, when you let guilt go, when you stop worrying about what other people think, things will fall into place the way they are supposed to.
And you took us right into 10, Katie. You took us right into 10. Stop thinking money creates value.
Mm-hmm.
So you took us right into that, you know. Relationships are important. You know, basically what you've done is created these relationships and then people remember you. And your kindness, you know, from all the lists we went down, your kindness of giving and stuff, you know, is being returned back to you.
And it's you wonderful.
Know. You know, it's not like we take these relationships and we put, like, remember notes in a bank account or anything. But, you know, when we do things from our heart, it comes from, it's just a different place, you know. It's just a different feeling. I've heard this before that, you know, you can have all the money in the world and it still doesn't make you happy. I've never had all the money in the world, so I don't know about that. No, just joking. But yeah.
Me either.
But, you know, but you understand what I'm saying? I've never heard anybody say, man, I'm dying here and I miss my money. You know, all you ever hear about when people are passing, I wish I would have done this. I wish I'd have done that. I wish I would have said, you know, sorry to my son. I wish I would have said sorry to my dad, you know. Or, you know, I wish I would have climbed the mountain. I wish I would have done that. But we always throw that big thing in the way. It's called money. We don't have money. I don't have any money. Well, you know, money is an energy. It's a form of creation. It's a form of evolution. You know, it's one of those things that when you put your intentions and you manifest it towards it, things happen. You start to create things that fall into your lap. And that's what you've done. You've shown that manifestation of going to West Virginia and you're going to have money in your pocket, I'm sure, to take with you. But you didn't really – you had a different type of money. You know what I'm saying? There's a different type of energy that you created there that got you to West Virginia. The value is more important. And I don't know. I just think it's a great story. When I heard that story, I thought it was really awesome. It reminds me of the story that somebody posted on Facebook today about this little boy who stole cough syrup from the store to give to his mother. She was sick, and the lady from the store comes out and starts whipping on the kid. What are you doing? Are you still? It's like in a, I think it's in some Asian tongue. I'm not sure what language, but the guy who owns a little restaurant across the way comes over, takes the money out of his pocket, and gives it to the lady. And then he gives them a food on top of it, and the kid's looking at him, why are you doing this? And he says, just take it, go. And then it pans through. There's this old, this beggar comes to the guy's restaurant, and he gives him food. And next scene, he falls over and collapses and conks himself on the head and goes in a coma. The daughter gets the bill, which is thousands and thousands of dollars. She's consulting with the doctor, and she shows him the bill. And the next scene, the daughter's crying on the bed, and someone drops a note on her, and it says that all the debts have been paid. Everything has been paid from the doctor. And the doctor was the little boy who this man, you know, acknowledged that day and gave him, you know, it's a fictional story. It could be true.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. And so, you know, the little boy remembered what this man did 30 years ago, and he repaid him in a way he thought was appropriate at that time. And this man, who was never really thinking about giving for any reason, he just gave because he wanted to give out of his heart. His daughter was like always wondering, why are you doing this? It's a lesson, you know. It was a good lesson. It made my eyes wet, you know. So I said, that's pretty cool. You know, that's a life you want to live, you know, something where you don't expect anything in return. You just give out of your heart. But, you know, that's kind of the story that you told, too. You know, you've given out of your heart so many times, Katie, and out here people, you know, remember you. They honor you.
And I'm grateful. I try to live a life of being thankful for everything that comes my way, even the hardness, the hardships. And I try not to worry about anything, my day-to-day living or my day-to-day whatevers. I just try to live.
Mm-hmm.
Try to be. To be or not to be.
And number 11 is...
That was kind of a pay-it-forward story. So
yeah.
It's, yeah, I mean, it's like when you... If you really want to make your life miserable, like, try to, like, keep track of... Because I try, you know... We go out to eat and stuff sometimes after the shows, and it's like... Sometimes one of us is short, another time the other person doesn't have any cash, and we just kind of fill in for each, or after drum circle or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we just kind of, we don't keep tit for tat, and it's like, you know, oh, well, I lent you $3 this time, and you only lent me two, or what? I mean, you know, you could just make yourself miserable worrying about, you know, you give, and you give because you want to give. It's not about,
mm-hmm.
you know, keeping score and doing, you know. It feels good to do stuff for your friends sometimes. If you really want to be miserable, try like keeping track and keeping score of things, and that's a road to misery there.
I've had friends like that too.
Takes us right into 11, guys. It takes us right into 11. You guys are good. I love you guys.
Stop feeling obligated.
Stop feeling
this
obligated.
This one goes to 11.
Stop feeling obligated. You know, and I think that's pretty self-explanatory. But go ahead,
mm-hmm.
if anybody has anything you want to chime in.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, well, just example, you know, in our group here, we have, you know, we have lots of activities and things and stuff, and it's like, it's awesome when we can all get together, but, you know, sometimes... You know, it's important not to feel obligated to do, because sometimes somebody has something else to do or other things they need to take care of, and that's cool. Then, you know, the five of the other people get together or
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
or whatnot, and it's like, I think that's important to keep things loose, even with, well, in like all areas and stuff, because then when people start feeling obligated to do certain things, and I think that's when like resentments and stuff build up, and then that leads to hurt feelings and things like that. So,
mm-hmm.
Yep.
So do what you, you know, when possible, do what you want to do when you are able to and you feel called to it. And if there's times when you need a break or can't do something, then it's maybe best not to do it sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you don't want everything to be done out of, you know, if you're feeling
absolutely
obligated or whatnot.
No is a complete sentence. That takes us to number 12. Stop saying yes to all the time. You know, if you can't do it.
Oh, wow.
So that's why I say no is a no is a complete sentence.
I had to learn that big time a few years back. Because when you say yes all the time, you stretch yourself so thin, and then you don't know when you're coming or going, and you can overbook yourself, overtask yourself to where it's just like, oh, Katie will do it. Oh, call Katie. She'll do it. Or get Katie, and then someone. And at one time, Iggy may remember this, someone had volunteered me to do something, and I just got downright mad and said, excuse me, don't volunteer me to do S, because I don't necessarily want to do it. I had to make healthy limits and boundaries and say, I am not going to do this, because don't volunteer me for it. There comes a time when you have to set your boundaries and not be and learn how to say no. Just like no is a complete sentence. No, I don't want to do this. No, don't ask me to do anything else. I got too much on my plate. Thank you. But I know Iggy remembers that time. We were in his
yep.
kitchen, and somebody volunteered me to do something, and I said no. I had I got it's just like ah.
Hey, you gotta say it, man. I like that. No is a complete sentence. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that takes us to number 13. Stop thinking everything is a competition. I thought this was pretty interesting. That was pretty interesting.
Oh, that's good. That is so good.
I'm going to read what the article says.
Because it's not.
The true definition
everything.
Of power is how much you can give back, and not just monetarily. Being powerful is like being classy. If you have to tell people you are, you aren't. I thought it was pretty cool. What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm.
Want to add to that, or you like that?
Yeah. I mean, no, I agree. I mean, because it does. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm competitive. I'm competitive in some ways, but I guess I don't really. I don't. At least I don't feel like I don't try to like one up my you know my friends or anything. But I do like. I guess on one level this is competitive. Because I do like, you know, I have a lot of creative friends and stuff that do stuff, and it's like when I see them being motivated and creative and doing stuff, then I feel that, I mean, that kind of spurs me on a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of, I like having some of that creative energy around me, and it's not in a I'm going to one-up you or outdo you thing. But it's like I kind of, because I need a little bit of that kind of fiery energy around me, because
mm-hmm.
that gets me producing more, just because like, oh, you know, seeing an example of someone else, you know, stepping up and
mm-hmm.
doing something creative and whatnot. So.
And you can be competitive too and not have to be, you know, change who you are.
Nasty about it or yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
that takes
yeah.
us. Yeah, that takes us into 14. Stop trying to be like everyone else. I mean, to be competitive, you don't have to be change who you are to prove to anyone. You're
stop
unique in yourself.
Competing
and
with the, stop
you have your own
doing
story.
What
you have your
Joneses
own story to tell.
Doing.
Yeah, you have your own story to tell. I think it's super
yeah.
important. My story
who
is no less
Joneses?
Or more than yours. Oh, I don't know. They moved out. Mm-hmm. They were next door.
People are always trying to keep up with the Joneses, and I've always wondered, who are the Joneses?
They're the ones that made the statement.
Who the heck are the Joneses? Stop trying to be like everyone else. Yeah, I don't want to be. I always want to be the oddball. I've always been like that.
I don't
the
have
black
that.
Sheep, the oddball. What
I
is
don't
normal?
Have that problem.
I don't think any one of us have that problem.
Right. I mean, because I'm always perfectly comfortable. If there's 100 people in the room and 99 people agree on something, I'm very comfortable being the one person who, has the differing opinion.
And I don't go with the trends. I don't even know what the trend is. I mean, every so often I listen to pop music and hear a song I like I like the song It's All About the Bass, you know, because it talks about embracing curvy, you know, girls embracing their curviness, which is, ain't nobody supposed to be a daggone size 2, you know? I think normal is anywhere between 14 and 18, a size 14 and 18, you know? Or normal for me is a size, about a size 18. When, you know, I'm at my normal size, which is usually around 180 pounds. So I'm curvy. I'm supposed to be big. I ain't supposed to be no tiny little skinny anorexic chick.
I'm fluffy.
So I like that song.
Iggy's fluffy.
Fluffy.
And number 15.
Yeah. Oh,
stop thinking you have to get it right on the first try. I'll say that again.
It's,
stop thinking you have to get it right on the first try. That's powerful.
Yeah, it's good to fail sometimes.
Yep. I don't think anybody else has got it right. So, on their first try. There are formulas out there that are always being tweaked. And we learn from that. You know, we learn from our failures, Carrie. Like you said, we learn who we truly are when we're in the deepest and the darkest moments in our life and when things are really blurry and things are really out of focus. You got to be like the camera lens, you know. You got to adjust that. Adjust a little bit to get into focus.
Adjust your focus.
And I liked the stories that we ran through here. I thought it was pretty good. Some of them kind of overlapped upon each other, you know, which is good. Now, if you want the version from the Elite Daily and the New Year's Resolution Remix 15 Things to Stop Doing in 2015, you can find it on Facebook or online. Sydney McBride, she's the one who wrote the article. We just took the highlighted versions of her article and gave our opinions and our experiences through our lenses, how we see the world and how it affected us. So, hopefully you enjoyed that. Yeah, I mean, of any of these, they all had little value, but there was ones that stood out for me. You know, like number one, stop saying yes. That was one. Stop feeling obligated. And I think stop feeling guilty were really powerful ones for me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. There's a lot of good ones in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my favorite thing is no is a complete sentence. I like that.
And me, sometimes I feel sorry for myself, which I try to, once it comes, I embrace it, say, yeah, and then move on. Don't stay there. Try not to stay in that pity party thing and try to do something or move on and do something else. And then
closing obligation. Thoughts? Closing thoughts before we get cut off?
Oh, I always want people to be good to themselves and be good to everybody else around them.
And Mark, anything you want to add?
Yeah. Just like as far as, personally, I don't do New Year's resolutions, but if you do them, you know, give yourself some slack. And you know what, if you're not feeling the energy, if you're not feeling it, then you know what, pick your own time. Pick your own time to start, turn over a new leaf or start a new project or whatnot. Because it's not a recognized holiday or whatever, whenever you feel the energy is when you're going to get the best results.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I have to agree with you on that one, Mark.
I agree, too.
This was someone else's opinion of how they see the world. So, you know, take what you need. Like Mark said, take what you need, use it when it's appropriate, if it's appropriate. And I guess with that, I think that's pretty good. We'll end with that.
That sounds like a winner.
And go Buckeyes. Sorry about West Virginia, Mark. They had it in their hands.
That was brutal. I know.
They had it, but... Well, go out and make your luck.
Second half.
Go out and make your luck, guys. Have fun with it. And we'll see you next year. I like to say
yeah.
that.
Okay, we'll see you Friday.
Infinite love and gratitude, guys. See you Friday. Mark,
okay.
Your show, 11 a.m.
Yep. Yep.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Guest, Elsa Hermes.
Tune in. Elsa Hermes, guys.
Bye, guys.
Tune in.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.